Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we open your word this evening. I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us, Father, the knowledge and the revelation of the truth of this word, Father, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, which will give us a greater and better understanding. And help us, O Lord, to build our faith in you and in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and in thy word. Because, Father, we know that we must walk by your word. Now we ask this day, Father, and we ask you to be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 11. But before we get into that, I want to share a little something with you here about this first city that we're going to be studying about, Hazor. You see, Jabin, which is the king of that city, you're going to be reading about here in just a minute. But to share a little something with you. Hazor was an ancient Canaanite fortress city. It was a fortress city in northern Palestine, located 4 miles southwest of Lake Eulah and 10 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. Hazor was one of the most important fortresses in the land when Joshua and the Israelites invaded Palestine. Hazor was anonymous. He had a large population and a strategic location on the main road between Egypt and Mesopotamia. Jabin, the king of Hazor, was defeated by Joshua, and the city was burned. And later, during the Judges period, God allowed the armies of Hazor to oppress Israel for 20 years. Deborah and Barak defeated Sisera, the captain of the armies of Hazor, during the United Monarchy. Hazor assumed a major role as one of Solomon's chief fortified cities, along with Gezer and Megiddo, around 733 B.C. You know, Assyria invaded Galilee and captured Hazor about 10 years before the collapse of the Northern Kingdom in 722 B.C. 722 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is when a lot of this was going on. Here in the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1, says, "And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Arsheph, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plains south of Shinar, and in the valley and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and the Hittites and the Perizzite, Jebusites in the mountains, and to the Hivites under Hermon in the land of Mitzpah. They went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sands that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many." Doesn't say how many, just says very many. Verse 5. "And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt halt their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom, and suddenly, and they fell upon them. 8. "And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, and unto, well, I can't come up with that name. Anyway, it's two different words, and MISREPHOTH dash MAIM. Anyway, and unto the valley of Mizpah, eastward. And they smote them until they left them none remaining. They didn't leave any remaining. Not a one. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bid him. He halted their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. And Joshua at that time turned back and took Hazor and smote the king thereof the sword. For Hazor before time was the head of all those kingdoms. Not just the one, but all of those kings. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire. He set Hazor afire, that city. Think about it. 12. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings of them did Joshua take, and smote them with the edge of the sword. And he utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Now we've got Moses here, back into it. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only. Joshua burnt that one, and that was the only one burnt. See, Moses had been telling them all this before they crossed over. Because he was not allowed to cross over. We know he went into the mountains and back. Now 14. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle, the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they spoke with the edge of the sword till they had destroyed them. Neither left they any to breathe. In other words, they didn't leave the soul. All right. 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded of Moses. You see, when we are the people of Almighty God, there is nothing that he cannot do to protect us, to keep us according to his way and his will, if we walk in obedience unto him. Now, when we don't, then we will pay a terrible, terrible price. because us of this day and time, under the New Testament, under this testament that is covered by the blood of Jesus, those that will not listen to him and his word and walk in obedience unto the word and unto him, they are on the road to hell and that lake of fire that will burn forever. And as the scripture tells us, the worm never dies. You will always be feeling that pain throughout eternity. I'm asking you this. Why is it that anyone wants himself in that situation? Because you see, it's that spirit that's going to go that is you and I. This flesh is not who we are. This flesh is a dwelling place for us and those of us that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, walk with him, and become born again, children of God. Then we have Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and ourselves all dwelling in this building that we call flesh. And one day, it will go back to dirt. From whence it came. But that is actually you and I, that spirit is going to go on into eternity to spend that eternity according to how we live here on this earth and whether we are walking as a child of God or not. Now, just as these were obeying, you see, and when they obeyed what God told them, it worked out just as he said it would. We're seeing that as we read it. Or I hope you're seeing it and that you're getting it. All right, 16. So Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the mount Halak that goeth up to Sire, even unto Belgad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Because you see, none of these people were serving the Lord God. They were all idol worshipers and doing everything against Almighty God. And that's why he's giving their land to Israel. Now, 18. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. Not a city. Save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon, all other they took in battle. Now, 20. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And, of course, Moses then had told Joshua. And Joshua was doing just as the Lord told Moses. And at that time, came Joshua and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza and Gath and in Ashdod, there remained. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Now, think about that. Do you know? We're going to go on into 12 here now. It's not that long a chapter. We're going to get on in and get through it. And the kings defeated by Moses. You see, Joshua here is writing even while Moses is still alive and the things he was doing. Verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plains on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain to the sea of Kinnereth on the east, and unto the sea, plain even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jesmoth, and from the south under Ashdod, Ishkai, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashdod and at Edrea, and reigned in Mount Hermon and in Jaffa and in all Bashan and to the border of the Gershurites and have Gilead, the border of Sion, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And verse 7. And these are the kings of the county, of the country rather, which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side of Jordan on the west. From Bel-Gad in the valley of Laban, even unto the mount Helak that goeth up to Sire, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. 8. In the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, one of Ai, which is besides Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon. The king of Gezer. The king of Debar. The king of Gedar. The king of Hormah. The king of Arad. The king of Libnah, and the king of Adullam, the king of Mekedah, and the king of Bethel, the king of Tekula, and the king of Kephel, the king of Apek, and the king of Leshron, the king of Madon, the king of Hazar, the king of Shimron, Meron, and the king of Tanakh, the king of Megiddo, the king of Kadesh, the king of Jotham, of Carm, and the king of Dor, in the coast of Dor, the king of the nations of Gilgal, and the king Tarzah, one, all the kings, 31 kings, as what they had gotten rid of. That God had gave all of their lands to Israel. And he gave it to them forever. That's where they are today, is what God gave them. That is theirs. They're not there by mistake or nothing. That is land that God gave to them. That is theirs. And he gave it to them forever. We're going to stop here for the night. Won't be long until we're going to be getting close to the end. Well, actually, I guess we're about halfway through Joshua. Joshua is a pretty long book. But things should be changing here pretty quickly and telling us a little more about Israel itself after going in to the land that God had promised them. And then we won't have all of this king business to read of and read about and trying to pronounce that you all are getting something out of our reading of the Old Testament and our study of the Bible. Because you see, there are old things that you and I need to understand from the old. And when we get into the prophets, the book of the prophets, you know, we're going to find that a lot of the prophecies that was made to the prophets of that day was not for their day and time. It was for ours. Just like in Isaiah. God gave Isaiah the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ 430 years before that happened. Think about that. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for everything that we have this day. Everything that you've given to us and let us achieve. We thank you for the help, Father, of obtaining the revelation of your word that is given to us by the Holy Spirit and the knowledge and the wisdom and, Father, the power he brings to us from you to carry on the work that you want done, Father, here on this earth, so that we can all be ready when the Lord comes for his church. Now, Father, Israel, we pray for peace to them. We pray, Father, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that you had blessed greatly, that is now, Father, our government has turned its back upon you. Jesus, out of every place he was in, and Father, they're against your church and against your people. I'm praying for our churches, Father. A lot of our churches have grown weak and teaching things that are contrary to your word. Pray, Father, for them to repent of that. Get back into your word. And begin to teach the truth of it. Once again, Father, so that we can have our government put back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Help all, Father, that are sick and in distress. May the Holy Spirit talk to them to get them to understand that they need to reach out and receive the healing that has already been given to them, that they are healed by his stripes, the stripes that Jesus Christ bore, that brought healing to us. Father, I pray that those that are walking along the pathway of righteousness never forget how they got there, and that they never stumble, and they obtain being born again, becoming your children, and being among those that has that inheritance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways, not to lift us up to make us something great before mankind, but so that we can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ before those, Father, that are walking in darkness, and help to bring them out of that darkness and into the light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we close this service for the night, keep us in health, keep us safe. Let us rest through the night, Father, to wake early in the morning, to be ready to once again get back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Everyone, have a great night. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Good night, all.